in John chapter 6, verses 41 through 51. We're going to kind of take this a step at a time. When we look in the sixth chapter of John, Jesus, after feeding the 5,000, we see that he returns and many of the people followed him. And once they caught up with him, they were asking and they were wanting for bread. And so as they gathered up around Jesus, Jesus reveals to them, you haven't come to receive me, the Savior that you need, but you've come to me for more bread. Now, in this, he reveals to them that he is actually the bread of heaven, that he's not just here to fill us physically. You know, many groups and some speakers focus more on what I can gain from God in Christ today, right? There's some that they want to, the prosperity gospel, as they call it, which is a false gospel, just to clarify. Prosperity is not for us today. We're pilgrims, we're passing through. This is not our world, this is not our life, but our life lays ahead of us, amen? Remember, we're waiting to see Christ, and when he comes and when he returns, our life comes for us. He who is our life will come for us, amen? And so when we talk about these things, Jesus is trying to open their hearts and minds and realize, I'm not just here to feed you physically, I'm here to feed you spiritually. I'm here to change you, and yet you must look by faith. So when we get into chapter 6, about verse 41 in our text, I'm going to read to you. It says, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven?'" So you see where they're going with this? We already know you. You're not that special. Now, that comment would work for any of us, amen? But for Jesus, that doesn't work. They were recognizing him in the physical, but they were denying his deity. You know, when we look at this, I had several years ago, the Lord had laid a message on my heart that just really seemed to ring true for so many. And the message was titled, "Are You Too Familiar with Jesus?" Jesus had often had come back to Nazareth and he began to do miracles, but yet he couldn't do many because they did not believe in him. They rejected him. And so he just went on to the next town. And unfortunately, his hometown people were the same way. They were too familiar with Jesus to recognize who he truly is and what he is capable of doing. Now, at first you may think that, oh, that's sad, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? That's sad. They grew up around him. They saw his example. And you know, in all honesty, could anyone bring an accusation? Probably not. They could maybe fabricate one. But you had to notice that Jesus was different. Wouldn't you agree? The scripture bears it out. But yet he was humble. He wasn't attractive. He wasn't physically attractive to anyone. We see that in Isaiah. He was very simple. He was humble. So therefore, he wasn't the leader that they wanted. He wasn't the political power that they wanted. He wasn't the king that was going to change everything in their favor at the time of what they wanted. So in a sense, Jesus didn't fit their narrative. Now I use that phrase on purpose because we hear that all over the political circles right now, don't we? We hear that in media. It's back and forth. If I want to attack someone, well, that just didn't fit your narrative. And I can be all snotty about it and never solve anything, right? Well, that's kind of what was happening with Jesus. We know what you're claiming. Your life can back it up. There's plenty of evidence here. He's already been doing miracles that no one else can do. The Old Testament spoke of, the prophecy said that he would do it, and he was doing all of these, so they weren't rejecting him out of ignorance. They were rejecting him in face of the evidence. But what was happening is they were just too familiar that they denied what God could do. Church member, I want to ask you, can that happen to us? Absolutely it can. We can come into this church building. We can sit in the same pew. We can say the same greeting. I can open service the same way every Sunday morning. We can have the same three songs every Sunday morning. We can do it all the same, and we get so familiar that we literally forget what God can truly do. We forget all that he has offered to us. We forget that he truly is the bread of life. He doesn't just provide life. He doesn't just give life. He is life. Do you understand that? Nothing can diminish what He is able to do. Nothing can stop what He desires to do in and through His people. There's no blessing too great that He does not want and desires right now to pour out upon His people. But what hinders that? Our faith, right? That we acknowledge who He truly is. Is Jesus so familiar that we've forgotten what He is able to do? What He's capable of doing? What He's willing to do? What He's already done? Amen? So then when we get to verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, now He has an answer for them. Do not murmur among yourselves, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. Now, they're gritting their teeth right about now. They're mad, because you understand. Oh, we'll accept the Father, but we don't accept you. So now Jesus says, now look, if anyone's going to come to Me, the Father's going to draw them. So if you reject Me, there's a problem. Amen? They wanted to say, oh no, we'll take God the Father, but we won't take you. Can I be honest with you? It's kind of the same way that as Christians today want to grow up and be a believer, but yet reject the church. How do you think Jesus is going to look at us when we stand before Him in judgment and we say, well, God, I loved You, but I just didn't like and I didn't get along with Your bride. I didn't like her. How do you think He's going to take that? Not very well, right? If we're worth our salt, we're going to stick up for our spouse. And the fact that He died for the church, He gave Himself, He shed His blood and bought us with His blood. When I say us, the Scripture says specifically the church. Amen? And so sometimes we want to draw stipulations on what I will take and what I won't. God has already drawn those boundaries. Amen? He has already established that. And so as they were trying to resist this, Jesus reveals that, look, if you're going to come to the Father, you're going to come through Me. And in fact, if you're drawn by the Father, you'll be drawn to Me. I hesitate to point at myself, but that's what He's saying. He said, if God the Father draws you, then you're going to come right to Me. Amen? There is no other route. There is no other path. So they're fuming at this point. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. He's talking about Himself. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in Me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is My flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Hence the Lord's Supper, right? We break His bread, we break His body. Now, I want you to understand that we do not believe in the transubstantiation. This does not become the body of Jesus, okay? This is a picture. And do you understand that in Catholicism, they believe it becomes. That's not what happens there or here. This is not the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus died on the cross. It died and was buried in the grave. It arose. That same body arose. Then it hopped on a cloud and it went right back to heaven to the Father. You understand that? We're not bringing Him back. He'll come back when He's ready. But we're not bringing Him back here. This is a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus. This is a reminder. This is a memorial. But one day we will eat and drink with Him personally when He comes back to take us home. But the fact that it's not His body does not diminish the value. It doesn't diminish the importance of the message. It doesn't diminish the effectiveness of life eternal that He has given to us. But what He wants us to recognize is that it was through His death that we now have life. But I want you to go farther in verse 53. I'm going to start with verse 52. I skipped that. It says, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Can you see how they're appalled? If you're thinking in the flesh, then obviously this is a gruesome saying, right? But they're missing the point. Jesus isn't presenting the physical bread. He's presenting the spiritual bread Himself, right? So then He explains further in 53. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So you notice that he keeps reflecting that you must eat my flesh and drink of my blood. We must make Christ our own. You understand that? The same way that we eat food, we take it within us. If our bodies are healthy, it will take all of the elements, it will take all of the nutrients, and take it into our body. And you always hear what mom says, you are what you eat. True, right? True. You are what you eat. Why is that? Because you have personally consumed, your body has absorbed and has taken in the nutrients of all that you eat, or the lack of nutrients that you eat, right? But here, Jesus is saying the same thing on a spiritual level, that as we take him in and make him our personal Savior, those are the ones that have eternal life, right? Those are the ones that receive. But notice what he says. He tells us where the source is. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he says, the Father's given me life, and now I'm giving it to you. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. When we make him our own, that's when everything changes. Amen? Can you go back to that day in your life? Maybe it was a church service. Maybe somebody was sharing the gospel. I had a friend of mine that his testimony was, he was driving home from work one day and Billy Graham was preaching on the radio. And he caught the last point of the message, and it convicted him so bad that when Billy Graham always would pray at the end of the message, he'd give an altar call. He pulled over to the side of the road and prayed with Billy Graham. And he said the Lord Jesus changed his life forever from that day and that point. Can you go back to that time and place? I can. 9 years old, a long time ago, but yet very real and true. And go to that place that the Lord convicted our hearts. Maybe you've been trying all along to do better, do all that you can, and you finally realize this isn't going to cut it, right? And we finally surrender and turn it over and say, God, only you can make this right. Did he? We have much to be thankful for, amen? We made it our own, and that's why we come here today with a heart and a spirit filled to give thanks, to memorialize what he has done. You know, in our country today, we have memorials all over our nation that speak of God, the founding principles on which the biblical principles that we have been founded on. They're trying to bury those. They're trying to hide them, maybe even deface them. You know, that doesn't destroy who God is. It doesn't change the truth of the reality of who we are and who he is. But what it does, it creates a people who have forgotten God. It creates generations that will begin to slide into evil debauchery, if you will, evil practices, and in the name of self-fulfillment, destroy each other. When we neglect to remember what Christ has done for us as a church, we will begin to slide into forgetfulness. We will slide into negligence. We will begin to think that church isn't important. We'll begin to think that evangelism is not important, and we'll begin to lose our love for the lost. Amen? We must remember what Jesus has done for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as your church body, this local association, this local gathering of your body. And Lord, as we've come together, we do so in obedience to your word. You've told us to, as often as we do so, that we do in remembrance of you until you return. Lord, we look forward to your return. But today we wait. Today we continue to hope. We look for your return. And so in waiting, we will fulfill your word in remembering what you've done for us. Lord, help us to be a gracious people. Help us to be a thankful people. As we draw from the life that you give us, as we remember of the power, the mercy that was shown on the cross for us, that we will in turn return that love and obedience to you. Thank you for loving us when there was no other way. Thank you for coming when we could not reach you. Thank you for walking among us when we'd never be able to hear the words of truth from anyone else. Jesus, thank you for coming and fulfilling all prophecy. There were so many prophecies. There were so many requirements of perfection, holiness, the firstborn son, perfect obedience, faithfulness from birth all the way to the cross. Lord, there was no one else that could fill it. Not even the angels of heaven could have purchased salvation for us. But Jesus, you did it perfectly. You did it completely. There's no loopholes. There's no weak points. Nothing to fail. Nothing to break. Nothing that will ever give up. Your mercy will never stop. The salvation you have brought will never fail. And Jesus, is all because of you. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. Thank you for saving us. And as we're remembered and reminded today, may each and every heart here today give you the praise that only you are worthy of. Our lives are you. Yours, we belong to you. And Jesus, you belong to us. Thank you for giving yourself to. Guide us in the observance of your Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.